You pick your nose.
What?
You didn't see that coming.
No.
We just contemplated like what to talk about for 15 minutes, and then I said, I'm ready, and I didn't tell Lee what it was. Do you pick your nose?
Dude.
I do. A lot.
Have you ever been busted doing it?
Yes. On purpose. Like,
no.
No, like, you know, I don't like doing in the middle of work, but like.
Has Maddie ever busted?
Oh, yeah. Maddie is woodpeckering and saying, no, right now, because I just do it all the time.
Like at stoplights and stuff like that?
Yeah, especially in the car.
Wow.
That's prime nose picking time.
I was turning left on Delaware from Tennessee the other day, and there was a lady sitting at a stop sign. And I mean, she was up to the second knuckle, man. She was.
She touched her brain.
I mean, she was buried. It was unbelievable. She was like an archaeologist.
Well, I had a friend in middle school. Like, honestly, a lot of my life, we were like very good friends.
Yeah.
David Darty, you remember him?
Yeah.
And he's just like one of my dear friends. But he found out that you could like slide a, like the curved end of a, this is hard to explain. You know, like there's a paper clip.
Yeah.
Is like round and one end. The thing pokes out. You know what I'm talking about? And the other end is just the rounded part.
Yeah.
And he found it like you could slip it in the corner of your eye and like go back in there.
Inside your
so
eye?
So weird. This is the weirdest thing ever. I was like, bro, that's not safe. And one time he thought he poked his brain. So he if you can he was
were you guys
like,
in middle school?
Oh, I hit my brain. I'm like, bro, why were you sticking a paper clip in your eye? And I was definitely the weirder out of the two of us. So that was just interesting.
Like, that's a thing. Isaac Newton used to do that. He used to put knitting needles behind his eyeball. And like one time, like just to see what would happen. And he like shut his eyes off one time. There was like an off switch back there.
Man, but yeah, I pick my nose a lot. People are like, gross. Why are we listening to this? Can we do a new one? My fiance is going to be so embarrassed of me.
She's going to be so frustrated. Well, it's funny because you're socially, like in normal circumstances, you're very good socially.
I also need people to know that I wash my hands a lot.
You also smell your hands a lot.
Well, yeah, that's why I wash them. I smell them to make sure they need to be cleaned.
I don't know anybody that washes their hands as much as you. Or anybody that brushes their teeth as much as
I
you.
Would say in the span of our middle school group, I wash my hands 4 times. Because I just get like high fives from middle schoolers. I'm like, go wash my
you
hands.
You leave the room and go wash your hands?
Yeah, I will find a way. You don't notice it because I'm so sneaky about it. But like, I'm just like.
Particularly the middle school group?
Like, as soon as I pump gas.
I'd say there's probably a lot of nose picking in the middle school group.
For sure. I mean, gosh, you got to do it. Then one's just gonna fall out. That's the thing I'm afraid of. Is like you're in the middle of this conversation at work, and your boss is looking at you like he's a knucklehead, like Charles Barkley would, you know? Because there's a booger hanging out of his nose. You got to be ready for it.
That's terrible.
That's why I do it. I'm like, I do not want to be talking to so and so today.
It's a preventative measure.
Yes,
but constant.
Well, yeah, they regenerate like crazy.
They respawn.
I think I just like blew every ounce of credibility I've ever gained on this show.
I think the people on this show know that in your preciousness that you've got some weird things.
Yeah, I'm super weird. I'm so weird.
Between this and the water towers.
Yeah, this is so weird. My fiance is going to be so embarrassed of me.
Does she listen to this show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the reason why we're getting married.
I don't know if Christy listens to it.
I thought we've had this conversation multiple times, and Christy does listen to it.
Well, I know she used to. I don't know if she still does. I think we may have fallen off.
I don't know what to think about that. It wasn't like, no, I'm just not going to do that. It was like, we lost her somewhere.
We did have a very good friend text us this week and be like, guys, I'm like 3 months behind, but I just started re-listening.
I know of Maddie.
Yeah.
Austin White.
Right.
Apparently Whopper.
Okay. And Tom Job.
We have 4 listeners.
We have 4. It's a healthy podcast.
Yeah.
We have more listeners.
It's not very healthy because apparently one of us picks their nose a lot. We're not going to say who. We won't name names.
We have more listeners than we have hosts. Welcome to Ancient and New.
My name is Lee. That is Thomas over there. I, Lee Younger, am the nose picker. I can't get back from this.
This is a Bible study podcast at times. And today we're going to do something interesting. This is...
I wash my hands a lot. I regret this whole thing.
I can't...
Like, hold on one second. I need to clarify this.
You clear the air?
Yeah, it's not like you invite me over for dinner, I'm in your house, I'm picking my... It's like... It's honestly only when I'm driving. That's like prime time. But I drive a lot.
Yeah.
I'll be frank about that.
Well, look, it's got to be preemptive. You got to make sure that...
Matthew Ruiz listens to our show.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
Five. But we... Yeah. It's mostly when I'm driving. And you wipe it right on the heel of your shoe.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you're discussing this part of it. Everything was... Okay, here we go. So this is... I don't know how to transition into this. We are now in the Lenten season.
I'm so embarrassed that I did this to myself. I've never been more embarrassed in my life. I thought this was going to be normal.
Your fiance is woodpeckering so much
right
now.
We have to stop. I can't do this.
This is the Lenten season. This is a season when it's the 40 days before Easter when believers in Jesus think about how our Lord paid for us. And so what we thought we would do, we're not like tying ourselves down every single week, but because Thomas has been reading the 1 year Bible this year and, you know, reading some places in the Old Testament, maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a long time.
It's been a long time. Cause I did this. I know for a fact, I did the 1 year Bible through like, it was June because then I lost the 1 year Bible in a canoe wreck in 2012.
Right. You lost my 1 year Bible.
Yeah, yours.
And then you got me another one and then we lost that one in Moldgate. Anyway, so you're kind of experiencing some of these, some obscure parts of the Old Testament for the first time in a long time. Mm. And so what we thought we would do is talk about something from the Old Testament, like an obscure place that not a lot of people know about that really points towards the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross.
Yeah, there's some cool things. Like, I even think maybe, I don't know if we talked about Abraham and Isaac.
Yes.
If we have talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a pretty well-known thing. I think it's cool that we're going to dig a little bit.
But there are a lot of interesting things. I mean, even just like, even, you know, even kind of stories like, you know, the Ark. It's like, you know, that there's, it's like the world is going down and everybody's like, everybody's going to be drowned. And like, there's literally just one way out and it's a boat, which involves just wood and hammer and nails.
Right.
You know? And, but the Old Testament is full of different movements of the Lord and different pictures and different. And then once Abraham, you know, has kids and grandkids and then you have the Jewish people, then all of a sudden you have all these rituals and ceremonies and stuff that are just unbelievable pictures and pageantry pointing toward Jesus on the cross. So we thought we'd look at one of those that's fairly obscure today.
Cool. Well, it's obscure and it's also like, huh, I've used that phrase 8,000 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know exactly what it means. And yeah, so it's one of those things where you wouldn't have believed it was from Scripture if you didn't hear it. You know, it's just
exactly.
Like, huh, I wonder where that came from. No one's ever thought, I don't think anyone's ever thought to ask, I wonder where that phrase came from.
Right.
And then you find out.
Oh, this is where that comes from. Okay, right. So we are in the book of Leviticus. If you don't know the, Jacob had 12 sons. These are the 12 tribes of Jacob or the 12 tribes of Israel when God changed his name to Israel. And one of them was Levi. And in the Exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land, there was a certain point where the Levites had this moment where they were really faithful to the Lord. And then God said, okay, y'all are my guys. Y'all are going to be the priests of all of the nation of Israel. Y'all are the priests. So when he set up all of the priestly temple rituals and ceremonial religious rites, it was going to be the Levites that were practicing those things because they were the priests. So the book is called Leviticus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Leviticus is. It's all the temple rituals and ceremonies, religious ceremonies. So this is Leviticus chapter 16, and the first high priest of the tribe of Levi was Moses' brother Aaron, and he was Leviticus chapter 16 is all about the Day of Atonement, which is unbelievably amazing and interesting, and all the cool stuff the high priest has to do, that basically, like, to take all of the sins of the entire nation in one day and do this, perform this sacrifice that's going to pay for and cover all of the sins of the people in one day. And he has to do all this crazy stuff. He has to wear this amazing outfit, uniform kind of thing. He has to, like, take a lot of baths, and he has to have sacrifices. He has to put blood on his earlobes, on his right earlobe, his right thumb, and his right big toe. Mm. Like, he has to have blood on him from head to toe. Literally.
To me, it's just, before we even get started, I'm like, Aaron kind of has some moments where I'm like, why did you get chosen for this?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm also, like, thankful, like, oh, I'm glad he chose someone who's a complete disaster, you know, because it's like, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one when Moses is up on, is it Mount Sinai? Or,
Yes, exactly.
He's getting the
tablets of the,
and they're like, what's taking so long? Aaron, make us a gold statue to praise, or, like, whatever, you know.
Cow.
Yeah, a cow. And, like, Aaron's like, all right, bull, cool. And it's like, psh. But Aaron also, like I kind of hurt for him, too, because not too far before this, his sons die.
Yeah.
Just, like, bam, because they did something. You know, like, they
offered unauthorized fire.
Unauthorized fire to the Lord. It's like, which they were told not to.
Right.
But I imagine, I could be wrong with this, and there may be
plenty of things I've been told not
to. There, but, and I may be wrong just because it may have said this explicitly and I just missed it, but part of me thinks they were probably, they thought they were doing something right. You know, they were like, we saw this happening, we thought we could do it too. And then bam, they died. So I'm like, I have this thing with me where I'm like, gosh, Aaron, man, what a dodo. And then I'm like, oh, Aaron, that's so sad. And then I'm also like, Lord, thank you for choosing such a dodo, because I'm a dodo.
It's the classic.
Why did I choose, like, dodo for my word?
I don't know. I've never heard you say the word dodo before.
Me neither.
It's really interesting. The Tom always chooses the word doofus.
Doofus.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said dodo.
These are great words. Yeah, it's the classic thing of, like, the more you know someone's story, the more you see, like, places where you identify with them, places where they need Jesus, places where they've been awesome, places where they've been suspect. It's classic. But anyway, on the Day of Atonement, Aaron, as the first high priest, had to do all of this stuff. You know, the special uniform, all the baths, all the blood, all the interesting, you know, like, movements and motions. And, you know, it's like choreography. It's just crazy amount of stuff. And then in verse 20, it says this. This is so interesting, you guys. When Aaron had finished making when Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. Then he shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. This is where we get the term scapegoat. This is where that started.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly as you were saying, a term that, like, everybody uses from time to time. You've heard it a million times, and this is where it comes from. That in part of the ceremony of the Day of Atonement, where everybody's sins were going to be covered for a whole year, was you take a goat, not the one that you kill and sacrifice, and he pronounces all of the sins and puts his hands on its head. And it's like, okay, we're transferring the sins of the people onto the head of this goat, and then somebody's going to tie a rope around its neck and walk it out into the desert and then just go away. And it just walks out of the camp, out of the community, out into the wilderness, and no one ever hears from it again. You're literally carrying the sins of the people out into the wilderness. Mm. The scapegoat.
There's just so much. It's so, like, I never, ever, anyone could have ever dreamed of this. It's such a bizarre and unique thing.
Right.
Like, the idea of putting all the sin of their people on the head of a goat is so interesting. And then to be Aaron would suck. You know, a little bit in this, because, like, you know, he's, like, holding down a live animal that can get pretty big, right, you know, for what it is. And, like, it's probably kicking and doing stuff everywhere, making noises, and he's just like trying to remember stuff. Like, stop kicking and okay, you know, just like rattling off stuff. You know, it's so interesting. Like, it's such a bizarre thing. And if the point of this is,
yeah, just saying like our wickedness, our rebellion, our, you know, obstinance, our unkindness, our hatred,
right,
our prejudice, our fear, our, you know, all of these things, anything he could think of, just piling it all on this goat's head.
He's to lay both hands on the head of the goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sin, and put them on the goat's head. Like, I don't know if, what if he had to go around town and make a list of like, okay, Charlie goats from here. What was everything you did this year? And he's like, oof, yeesh. And, you know, and he's just like, I don't know. That could be what it is. Or if it's just a generalized, this is what the stuff was.
Right. I mean, it had to be, in some ways, it had to be generalized because there was 2.5 million of them.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, at least, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But it's just fascinating, though, because it's crazy to think about something, you know, not someone, but something in this case, taking the place of all the sin of all these people, and we're thousands of years before Jesus comes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, obviously y'all knew what we were going to talk about when we got in here, but here's the thing. And I love the idea that, and I don't know, this could be heresy. I have no idea.
Here we go.
I don't want to assume that I'm right about
Thomas's
this or anything.
Fear.
I do like the idea though, that like Aaron goes to heaven and sees what happens. I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's like a watch this. This is what's gonna, or like I don't know what.
Yeah.
And he has like a little thing there, or he's like, I don't know. He's like a little connection there.
Yeah. There's
that no one else really feels.
There's got to be just a little bit of that. I mean,
or if Moses is like, I don't know. Sorry, keep going.
But like, there's got to be a little bit of a thing where, you know, where it's like, okay, we'll do this weird ceremony where somehow this goat is taking our place, or like, okay, the goat becomes responsible. And then it's like, okay, you have to leave the community.
Mm.
And then somebody just drags this goat out. And then at a certain point, just like smacks it on the rear and just sends it roaming.
Right.
And we never want to see you again. You're gone. And it's like, you're the sin bearer. You're the scapegoat. You're the one that's taking everybody's place. Get out of here. We never want to see you again.
Right.
It's so interesting that like, because they were going to kill, you know, bulls and everything for to get the blood to sprinkle on the most holy place. I mean, that was part of the Day of Atonement as well. But this was a separate kind of picture. What's so interesting to me about this is, you know, so to your point, when Aaron, you know, it's like Aaron couldn't have understood what all these pictures were when he was doing this, and the high priests that came after him couldn't understand what all these pictures were of the scapegoat and the different bulls and the blood and all the kind of different pictures of the different sacrifices. But then, as you're saying, when Jesus came and he's standing in the house of the high priest, and the high priest tears his robes and condemns Jesus, and then they take him to Pilate, you know, to Pilate's palace, and Pilate gives in and condemns him to death and everything. And then they made him carry his own cross, and he left the city. Like, he was executed outside the city gate.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's got to be this moment for Aaron where he's watching that, and high priests who went, you know, who were also, you know, who had already died as well, who were watching this going, whoa, there it is. Like, did you see that? He's leaving the city gate. Just like, the scapegoat, this was always a picture of him. There's a place in Hebrews 13 that says this: the high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come.
Hmm. That's a cool thought. We were looking for the city that is to come. I like that. This is just the idea of who knows what that goat is thinking. You know, like,
yeah.
Who knows what's going on in its head? Is it Does it have any idea what just happened? Does it feel any of this? Is it just a stupid goat who's just wandering and thinking like, I need to eat, I need to eat, I need to eat. Is there anything that looks like me around here? I need to eat, I need to eat. And, but I don't know exactly what Jesus was thinking when he was leaving the city.
But like, there is a moment where we do have one moment. So when he's carrying his cross and leaving the city, the women are of Jerusalem. There's like a place where some women in Jerusalem are crying for him. And it's the only time, like, there were people who, there were people who lied about him. There were people who punched him. There were people who spat on him. And he didn't stop any of it.
Mm.
Like, false testimony, you know, torture, everything. He just let it happen. Never said a word. The only time that he called time out in that whole deal was when there were a group of women who were crying for him, feeling sorry for him.
Mm.
And he stopped. And he was like, time out. No, don't do that. Like, he didn't stop people spitting on him and slapping him, but he stopped that.
Right.
Don't feel sorry for me.
Right.
I am doing something right now.
Yeah. I mean, we know that he's doing this because he knows it's the plan, you know, based on what happened in the garden.
Only way.
Yeah. Like, hey, this is what you want from me. Okay. I'm going to do it. But there's something behind him going through all of it, you know, like, the goat had zero love or compassion for anybody that he's doing this for. He's literally, he's the first of scapegoats. And
yeah,
for thousands of years is a scapegoat. And like, obviously, like,
it, the one that gets blamed.
Yeah. He didn't get born thinking he was doing this. Right. He didn't choose to do it. He wouldn't have done it. There's no part of him that would want to do this. He wants to be with its people and eating. That's all it cares about doing. And Jesus had compassion and love and care for everyone ever in the middle of doing that. It was just such a, I don't know. It's cool to think about that.
It's cool to think about the fact that this, you know, that this was a quirky little part of the rules for the Day of Atonement that these high priests and nobody could really understand. Well, I mean, they could understand what it meant, you know, that an innocent life is bearing the blame for we who are guilty. Mm-hmm. And then that innocent one who's bearing all the blame is leaving the community and taking all of our wrong with him. Bye-bye. It's gone. My wrongs has been physically carried away out of the community. That's an amazing thought. And then for Jesus to do it and for him to be thinking, I'm the scapegoat. I'm actually carrying away the sin and guilt, and I'm carrying it outside of the city. And they took him outside of Jerusalem to the city dump and nailed him onto a cross, and he bore it. And not once for a year, but once for all. And that's
right.
so interesting. It's such a, when you're going through Leviticus, it's just such a quirky little moment, but it's exactly what you said at the very beginning, which is the term scapegoat. I mean, everybody's used it a million times. Like, oh man, I'm the scapegoat for the thing. I didn't even do it, but I'm the one that's getting blamed for it.
Right.
And it's like, yes, that's the heart of the gospel, that the innocent who didn't do anything is just physically carrying away the blame out of the city.
Right. Yes and amen.
So cool. So as we go into Lent and we point toward the cross, maybe we'll do some more of this, but it's just a cool thing to think about, like the pictures that the Lord had in mind to condition people's hearts and to get them ready for what Jesus was going to do.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone thought about that in the middle of it. You know, I don't know if there was someone on the street that was like, oh,
the scapegoat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously the priest didn't.
Yeah.
They weren't.
No.
They super didn't.
No, when you tear your clothes, you're mad.
Yeah. I think sentences before this, it talks about not tearing your clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. In Leviticus, it does say that. Yes. Yeah. The high priest is not supposed to do that.
Yeah. And they did it. Whatever. I've never had that urge. I've never done that.
Do what?
I've never had the urge to rip my clothes.
To rip your clothes.
Yeah. I like my clothes.
That's good. There's like, it's good that you draw the line somewhere.
have that 3 minutes back. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, folks. We love that the five of you want to hang out with us every week. Yeah. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been HLA.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Done.